You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
God, you may be seated. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Hebrews, good book. Hallelujah. You know, y'all take books sometimes and just read through it. Just read. You know, these books are written. Most of them were letters that were written. And they were written to churches or to people. The Romans was written to the Romans, Hebrews to the Hebrews. And, of course, 1st and 2nd Corinthians were written to the church at Corinth, and Ephesians, the churches of Ephesus and that area. So, you know, they were written as a letter. I mean, I don't know how many letters you get, but when you get a letter from someone, how many times do you read the first page and lay it down and a couple days later pick it up and read the other page? I mean, normally you read all the way through the letter and just get the whole spirit of the thing. And then many times you'll go back and look at the letter maybe and look at different things in the letter. We tend to, for the most part in churches, for sake of time, obviously, we can't just stay here 24/7. You know, you got to go home sometime. You got to work. If you don't work, buildings don't get built, ties don't come in, don't have any money. So thank God for that, but that limits us sometimes when we're preaching in our ability to give you the overall picture of a book. That's what I love about these studies when we take a book and just go into it week after week and take it apart. But I encourage you to go back and study these books. Go back and read the book. Read through it. And then come back in here. We'll take a chapter at a time generally and begin to expound on it and take it apart. But each chapter is a part of a whole book. Always keep that in mind. You know, when I teach on Revelation, I always bring that out. Revelation is a book in the Bible. It's one of 66 books. You can't isolate it and make it stand alone. You have to put it in context of the rest of the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so Hebrews is the same way. It's one of many books, and each chapter is a chapter of many chapters here. Chapter 6, notice how it follows chapter 5. See how much we're learning here. Chapter 6 starts out and says, therefore, by say, therefore, good case in point to make my point. When you see a therefore, you ought to stop and look and see why it's there, what it's there for. Hello? Because he actually is coming to a conclusion. He's making a point that he has already established. He's saying, therefore, in light of what I've just said, if you followed my train of thought here, he's saying, if you've been with me, are you with me? Hello, can you hear me? I mean, I hear Paul saying this or whoever wrote this. He said, now we've said that to say this. Therefore. Now, what he just got through saying to them was that they were dull of hearing. And he just, are you with me? He just got through saying to them they ought to be teachers. And they ought to be eating meat. Now they're just drinking milk. He had some things he wanted to say about Melchizedek and the priesthood of Melchizedek, but he said their ears were dull of hearing and they weren't ready. And he says, you have need of milk instead of meat. And then he talks about you've partaken of the milk but not of the meat. And we need to go on. We need to mature and quit staying right where we are. Therefore, 6th chapter, 1st verse, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Let's move on. Let's grow. Let's don't just stay right there. Now, I'm going to tell you what he's not saying. He's not saying leaving in the sense of never going back to it, never using it, and throwing it away. The things he's going to list here are things that we've built our life upon. We're saved by understanding some of these things. He's not saying let's quit preaching, quit teaching those things, quit believing those things. He's saying let's build on those things. Let's leave those and mature. Yeah. Hello? I mean, you know, once you get to step one, let's go to step two. Doesn't mean you forget step one. That means you build on it. Are you with me? And that's the point he was making to them previously, was that they had heard some things, but they just stayed right where they were. They got some milk, and the milk was good, and the milk was right. Hello. But you don't stay on milk. You go from milk to meat. Right? And how do you know? How many of you know that you still drink some milk even after you eat some meat? Don't drink it like you used to. Hope you don't still have a bottle hanging out of your mouth when you're 20 years old, 30 years old, whatever. You know, are you with me? But you do build on. You go forward. You move from that level to the next level, and you grow, as it were. He's talking about growth. He's talking about maturity here. He says, therefore, chapter 6, verse 1, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection or maturity or completion or fulfillment. Are you with me? Because now, first of all, I'm perfected in Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I'll never become any more of a Christian, more of a believer than I am right now. But I can grow in Christ. I can become more mature, more fulfilled, more complete in Christ. But I know I'll never be more of a Christian or more saved. I'm saved. I'm just, you know, it's like you're a human being. You were born a human being. You never become more of a human being. Hello. But you can grow as a human being. You can mature. You know what? You can stop maturing too as a human being. You can just cut it off and say, that's just the way I am, and that's the way I am. What you see is what you get. Well, I hope you got enough sense to repent if you're wrong. You may have some limitations, but work on them. Are you with me? Amen? Let's grow. You say, well, I just fly off the handle every once in a while. Well, you ought to stop doing that.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
Hello? You know, if you're standing on a handle and you fly off a handle, you know what you do? You fall down. You want to quit flying off the handle. That's not a good deal. That's what birds do. They fly off the handle, you know. Okay, stay with me. So it says here, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, maturity, fulfillment, not laying again the foundation of repentance from death. We can't redo that, see? That's not something we can redo. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Now, everybody knows you had to repent from dead works to be saved. But have you know you can't get saved again? You've already been saved.
Amen.
Okay. So not just staying there. You know, we could just stay right there for the rest of our life, for 50 years serving God and just talking about how we repented of our sins and we're saved. That's wonderful, but at some point you need to go on.
Yeah.
Am I making sense here? Thank God that you repented of your sins. Thank God you repented from dead works to serve the living God. Hallelujah. And we continue to do that in the sense of we're serving God and serving God. But I can't redo that experience that happened to me 32 years ago. And ever since then, I've been building on that. I went from there forward. We're going forward. Because anything else is just backing up. Are you with me? That's just like if I got in here, just give an example, and there definitely will be occasions when I get in here and I preach on eternal life and how to be saved, because you have new people coming all the time. But you know what would be wrong? What would be robbing you? What would be staying in a baby stage is if I stood here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday and preached how to be saved year in and year out and never preached anything else.
Right.
That would be wrong for me to do that. Why? Because there is more for us as Christians. We need to grow into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need to learn about healing. We need to learn about laying hands on the sick. We need to learn how to pray and believe God and stand on the Word. Are you with me? There's a lot in the Bible that we build on our eternal life experience or our new birth experience, our salvation experience. So he's saying to them, they have stayed in a milk stage and they have need of meat and he's wanting to move on. He's really wanting to give them some insight into Melchizedek. This is kind of an interlude. In fact, he just kind of stops, gets on their case a little while, the latter part of the 5th chapter and 6th chapter. Then he picks back up in the 7th chapter, starts talking about the priesthood of Melchizedek. Hello. And he says here, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrections of the dead, of eternal judgment. These are things we believe, and very strongly we believe them. But it's not all of the Word of God. These are things that are basic Christianity 101, and from there we build on it, our Christian life. And we mature. We get out of the seat and on the street. We may be the salt of the earth, but we have to get out of the shaker if we're going to flavor any meat. Okay, you out there? So he talks six things he lists here. I'm not going to go in detail here because we could just have a camp meeting. I could spend several weeks on just teaching each one of those. But he lists repentance from dead works, faith to God, faith toward God. That's faith in God, of course. Doctrine of baptisms. You know, the Bible talks about that. I mean, if you've been water baptized, okay, and if you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. If you're a Christian, you've all been baptized into Christ because that's supernatural. That happened by the Spirit. See, we need to get all that in our life and then go on.
Amen.
Repentance from dead works, faith toward God, doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Now, he's not saying we don't minister on that again. He's not saying we don't believe that and talk about that. He's saying that we take that and we build on that. Are you with me? leaving these things, maturing, going on to the next level. And this we will do if God permits. This is His will. This is what He wants. And we will do this if God permits us to move on and grow in God. For it is impossible, now he lays an argument down here, it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come if they fall away. See, we don't want to go backwards from this. We want to go forward from this. We don't want to even just stay where we are and get sluggish in what we believe and never progress or dig any deeper or proceed any further, because what happens if we just fall completely asleep and quit believing altogether? If we fall away. Listen, I'm only going to heaven because I believe in Jesus Christ. If I cease to believe in Jesus Christ, I won't go to heaven. You say, well, there's no way. I mean, once I believe in Jesus, I'm going to heaven. Well, yeah, I'm saved. I've got eternal security in that sense. But you know, if I ever stop believing in Jesus, don't kid yourself. God's not going to drag you to heaven kicking and screaming.
That's right.
I'm going to take you to heaven where you want to go or not.
Yeah.
You may not believe in me, but I'm going to take you anyway. Well, no, you've got to believe in Him to go to heaven. Now, I'm secure in that. Stay with me. I'm secure in that for a lot of reasons, because I have done things that reinforce that faith. I have lived that life. And so my faith is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Nothing I do saves me, but there are things that I do that encourage my faith.
Amen.
Hello. I've heard people talk about how they lost their faith. You ever heard anybody talk like that? Oh, yeah, I used to believe.
Yes.
Used to believe they lost their faith. Well, my Lord, that's a terrible thing to lose your faith. If you lose your faith in God, you're lost. Hello. That's like saying you lose your sight. You quit being able to see. I lost my hearing. You quit being able to hear. You lose your faith, you quit believing. Hello, and a whole world's lost to you. Did you know that when you lose your sight, the whole world's lost to you? It's called the world of sight. Mm-hmm. And when you lose your hearing, the whole world's lost to you, you lose your hearing. Well, if you lose your faith, then the whole world of faith is lost to you. The whole realm of God and all that God offers and all of His promises. And that's what He's saying here. He says, we need to go forward now. Let's don't stay in the baby stage.
Amen.
Hello. Let's don't fall away from these things. Let's build on these things. He's not saying throw them away. He's saying leaving these doctrines in the sense of going on. You go from Will's Point to Terrell to Dallas. Once we get to Terrell, let's leave Terrell, go to Dallas. But you got to go to Terrell to get to Dallas. That type of leaving. Does that make sense? Because I've heard people say, well, we ought to just throw all that away. Well, no, he's not saying throw it away. He's saying let's keep going. We go through this to go to the next stage and the next level. Mm-hmm. And the level here he's talking about, of course, is maturity and growing and being fulfilled in Christ. You want to be fulfilled in Christ?
Amen.
Well, you got to keep growing in God. You got to keep digging. Stay in the Word. Keep coming to church. You don't know it all. I don't know it all. And the more I come and the more I study, the more I pray, the more I seek His face, the more I find out about Him. Hallelujah. Amen. And it encourages my faith. And it takes me to another level. Hallelujah. I become stronger in God, more useful in God. I become one of those Hebrews 5:14, solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hallelujah. Use it or lose it. You heard the saying. You know, that's true with your body. That's true spiritually too. Use what you have. Take it, eat it, use it, and build on it. Hallelujah. He's saying if those that have done this and have received all these things, and they stop and they don't go any further and they start falling away, if they fall away, 6th verse, if they fall away to renew them again to repentance, well, it's impossible, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. Now, this is a big issue, and it's a big can of worms. Can a person be lost after they're saved? I believe the Bible emphatically says yes. Is it because of their works? No, of course not. I do not believe that your works save you or your works cause you to be lost. You're saved by your faith in Christ Jesus, and that alone saves you. But if you cease to believe in Jesus, you're lost. Now, that must be possible because that's what it's talking about here, that people can fall away from what? These doctrines. They fall away from what? Faith in God. Isn't that what it's saying? If they have been enlightened, it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift. I read a commentary one time. This guy would not relent. He would not give up. There is no way possible, impossible. Nobody can be lost after they're saved. And so he began to comment on these scriptures. He says, it's impossible for those who were enlightened. They didn't really know. They just had it was made aware to them. They didn't accept it. It says, and tasted the heavenly gift. It didn't say they really drank of the heavenly gift. They just got a taste of it. And it says, and have become partakers of the Holy Ghost. They were around the presence of it, but they really didn't receive it. They just kind of partook of the presence of it and tasted the good word of God. Well, they didn't really receive the word of God. They just got a taste of it. They didn't really eat it. Are you with me? I thought, my Lord, goodness gracious, you're talking about twisting scriptures. You know what all this means, really? It means what it says.
Yes, indeed.
No, you don't have to make apologies. You don't have to make excuses. Just go ahead and just preach it like it is. That's what it says. It must be possible or it wouldn't be in here. But now, having said that, I'm eternally secure, and you can be sure of your salvation and know you're going to heaven because you believe in Jesus. I don't plan on ever stop believing in Jesus. So I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. I believe in eternal security.
Amen.
And I also believe you can be lost. Oh, man, come on. I got you going now, don't I? I am eternally secure. Hallelujah. Because I'm hanging on there. I'm just believing in Jesus. I'm not going to stop believing in Jesus. And I'm going to do the things that reinforce my faith. I'm going to do the things that encourage my faith. And I'm going to encourage others to believe, too, while it's called today. Amen. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, even more so as you see the day approaching. We ought to provoke one another to good works and encourage one another in our faith. So he says this, if these who have tasted, well, you believe they ate or just got a taste of it, I don't know, enlightened, partakers, tasted the good word of God, they fall away, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Now, let me explain this. It doesn't mean a Christian gets in sin's laws. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about a Christian who ceases to believe those things he just listed. Hello. If you cease to believe that, you are lost. That must be possible. You know, people, of course, will always say that when someone gets in sin, quits believing in Jesus, they'll always say, well, they weren't saved to start with. But I think the Bible is very plain. People can be saved and lose their faith. You know, Jim Jones was a Pentecostal preacher at one time. Hello. I believe the man lost his faith. Are you with me? Hello. If you don't believe that, you don't know much about Jim Jones. But he was a Pentecostal preacher at one time. And then somewhere along the line, he started throwing the Bible on the ground, standing on it, says, listen to me, quit listening to that. And something went wrong. Hello. He fell away from what he first believed. So that must be possible. And he's saying the way to stop that, the way to secure yourself from that, the way to guard against that, of course, is to move on in God. And don't get sluggish and slothful in your faith. And don't stay in the baby stage where you're susceptible to fall away. But move on in God. Grow in God. Get some more of it. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. For the earth, 7th verse, which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it's rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, he turns around, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. Everybody say, company salvation. I'm saving. Nothing I do is going to save me, and nothing I do keeps me saved, as it were. There are things that accompany salvation. There are things that encourage my salvation, as it were. There are things that encourage my faith. That's what he's saying. You know, once you find the truth, you know what you need to do? You need to remind yourself over and over and over. You need to get in fellowship with people that believe that. You need to hang around people that are going to encourage that right thinking. Hello. Because if you start hanging around people that don't believe it, you know what? It affects your faith. You'll start doubting yourself. And the person that doubts does without. And the person that believes receives.
Amen.
That's true in little things, but I'll tell you what, that's true in big things. I believe, sad but true, there are people that probably do get saved early in their life, and yet they never proceed with it, never go anywhere with it. They start hanging around people that don't believe in Jesus. They don't go to church. They don't read their Bible. Before long, they start hanging around very educated people that are atheists. And before long, they don't even believe in Jesus themselves. And they'll tell you, oh yeah, at one time I did. I walked an aisle. But you know what? I didn't know any better then. I know a whole lot more now. I'm a lot more educated now. I know better. I'm a realist now. You know what's happened? They've lost their faith. And that's not to say they didn't believe. I believe they did believe. But they didn't do the things that encouraged their faith. They didn't go on. They stayed right there at that one stage and never progressed. And they were susceptible to the enemy. So he's encouraging us. In one way, he gets on them because he can't explain to them what he wants to. And then he warns them of the dangers of that kind of thinking, of staying there in that baby stage. And then he turns back around and says, look, I know you're saved and I know you're Christians. I don't believe this about you. I just give this as a warning. Y'all see that? Okay. I got one person saw that. That's good. So it says, ninth verse, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. You ought to accompany your salvation, hallelujah, with some good serving God, good reading the Bible, good praying, good going to church. That'll accompany your salvation. And then he says in 10th verse, For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. God's not just looking for all the bad things in your life. He sees the good things that are going on in your life too. He's not unjust to forget them. He remembers them. Hallelujah. And you know what? He encourages you when you do good things. He encourages you when you come to church, when you read your Bible, when you witness for the Lord, when you pray and you seek His face. That encourages your faith. That builds your confidence, hallelujah. And it brings you to completion, fulfillment, and maturity, hallelujah. Amen. And we desire, 11th verse, that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. In other words, we have done what he said in the 6th chapter, first two verses there. We have gone through these basic rudimentary elements of Christianity. We have laid this foundation. You know what we need to do now? Show the same diligence that we did when we got saved, and let's grow in God. The same passion that we got a hold of Jesus in the beginning with, let's grow in Jesus. Let's show that same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. And actually, your faith will get stronger, not weaker, if you'll do those things. You'll have full assurance of hope all the way to the end. 12th verse, that you do not become sluggish or slothful, baby stage again, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. People that stay the course, hallelujah. People that stay in the race. People that are out there running and practicing, you know, before the marathon starts. They're out there when nobody's cheering, where there's no banners to be cut, where there's nobody giving out awards. Every day, day in and day out, they're running, they're practicing, they're staying in shape, they're staying the course. Are you with me? Be that kind of person. Don't be sluggish. Let's don't get slothful in our service toward God, because it affects our faith. That's what he's saying. He says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. This is the way that we progress in God. This is the way more promises come to pass, more testimonies happen, more miracles take place, more healings take place, as it were. As we're more diligent, we just build and build and build and build and build. You know, I mentioned this morning, here we are 25 years down the road. We're going to celebrate our 25th anniversary at the end of July. Been a great ride. It has been a great ride. I mean, we've accomplished so much. I think of all that God has done in those 25 years. I think of what we're experiencing even right now. You know, it didn't come in 1 week. It didn't come in 1 year. And it didn't come in 5 years. And I can just go right on down. It didn't come in 10 years. I could really be like Greg Weir. It didn't come in 11 years. It didn't come in 12 years. It didn't come in 13 years. You know how Greg is. No, it came. Where we are today is 25 years of serving God and believing God. 25 years of not quitting. 25 years, oh, we had struggles. We had in and out and so on and so forth. But you know what? 25 years has brought us to such a time as this, has brought us to this place, this juncture in the road, spiritually speaking. And all that we have and all that we can brag on about what Jesus has done, our missions, our television, the land, our out of debt, all the building, another building here, all that we're doing, and all that we've accomplished, and all the people have been saved and healed and filled with the Holy Spirit, and lives been changed and touched, has taken 25 years. If you count up all the numbers, and you count up all that's that we could brag about or testify about or give God glory for, 25 years brought us to this place. Thank God we didn't quit. Thank God we built on our faith. Thank God we were diligent. Thank God we didn't get slothful. We kept believing. See, I believe when you stop believing, the dream stops. It stops. You got to keep believing. You got to keep building on your faith. You think we're going to stop with this gymnasium? You've got to be kidding. We get that thing built, we're going to start believing for another building. You know how we are. Are you with me? There's something else we'll start believing for. We don't ever stop believing. Amen. You say, well, what if you live your life out and Jesus doesn't come back before you die? What happens then? Well, whoever takes it up after I go on will take it up and start believing too. That's right. If your vision can be fulfilled and your dream can be fulfilled in your lifetime, it's not big enough. It's not from God. Hello. What about your children? What about your grandchildren? I don't know if Jesus will tarry. Jesus could come back tonight. Stay with me. Even so, come Lord Jesus. But if he does not, we're going to keep doing the things he's told us to do. I want International Outreach Church to be here for my grandchildren. I want to be here for my great-grandchildren. Amen. I want to be here for the next generation, the next generation, the next generation, if Jesus tarries. Hello. And having said that, Jesus could come back any day. Are you with me? And it looks like things are ripening up for Jesus to come. But it doesn't matter whether he does or whether he doesn't. We are supposed to occupy until he comes and build this dream. It is teamwork that makes the dream work. Amen. Hello. So he says, be diligent, don't be slothful. Because it is through diligence and faith and patience that we inherit the promises. 13th verse, for when God made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Now, Abraham's a great example of diligence. The years that he served God, the years that he was faithful and left his home and left his kindred and came into the land of Canaan. It says that God told him this. He said, since he could swear by no greater, he just swore by himself. I mean, who's God going to swear by? I know in a court of law, we go out there and put our hand on the Holy Bible. What's God going to put his hand on? It's his word. Is he going to swear by heaven? He made heaven. he's going to swear by, you know, I mean, who's he swear by? He just swears by himself. That's it. You know what? God says, I said it. That's it. Hello. Not on my mother's graves, not cross my heart and hope to die. Hello. I'll swear by heaven or earth. No, God just says it. That's it. That's all it takes. I mean, there's nobody greater than him. So he just swear by himself, because he could swear by no greater. He swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you, multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Notice how faithful Abraham was. Notice how Abraham didn't back up. Notice how Abraham kept going forward. Are you with me? Amen. That's what he's saying to us. We need to keep going forward. We need to keep moving on. Hallelujah. And then he talks about this covenant. I love this, because when God swore to Abraham, you know, it's Genesis 15, I believe is where it is. Yeah, Genesis 15 is one account there where Abraham sacrificed to God. God told him to split a lamb and a goat and a bird, and he split all these. And what it was under the old covenants back then, what they did, when you made a covenant or a pact or an agreement or a contract with someone, you'd often cut, you'd cut an animal in half and you'd spread it, and the two of you would hold hand in hand, would walk between the midst of them. And many times holding a torch, you'd hold a flame, and that represented something too. And what it meant was that through death and blood and fire, you were not going to break this covenant. You walk between the blood, you walk between death, and you walk between the fire. And you made a pact that you would not break this covenant. Well, God told Abraham to put all that together. It's very significant. It's the 15th chapter of Genesis. And he did. And he chased the birds off, and he had all that laid out, had it split and everything. And you know what happened? God caused a deep sleep to come upon Abraham. And the Bible tells us that a flaming fire went through the midst of it. That was God. God walked right through the midst of it by himself. Because God's not going to break it. Now, I don't think often we get the significance of that. He didn't take Abraham through there. He went through there by himself. And he said, I won't break this thing. And I said I'd bless you, and I said I'd multiply you, and in multiplying I'll multiply you, and blessing I'll bless you. And it's a done deal. Woo! Man, that's strong, isn't it? So he did it himself, and that's what he goes on and says here in the 16th verse, for men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. We're laying hold on God's word. Two things. God spoke and God can't lie. Two immutable facts. God has spoken and God can't lie. Y'all catching this? Those are the two immutable facts. And he did it by himself because he could do it by no greater. See, what the covenant is more like a will and a testament. It's often called that, New Testament, Old Testament. You know what a will is? A will is it's a one-party deal. You say, well, it's two parties. No, really, it's actually one party bestowing all their goods over to another, but it has nothing to do with the second party. It has everything to do with the one party who made the promise, who made the agreement. If you're in a will, you have nothing to do with it other than just being here. The only thing that has to be, the requirements have to be met is the person who gives it has to state he gives it to you. See, a will, in fact, even in the New Testament, the word covenant or testament is diatheke. It's a Greek word. It's a one-sided word. It's the bestowing of one's goods over onto another. It's not a two-party agreement. All you can do is believe. That's it. All you can do is receive. You have nothing to offer him. What did you offer God? Nothing. You just came to him with your life. There was nothing you could get. He was fine without you, but you weren't fine without him. Y'all with me? You accepted an offer that he gave, a covenant that he made by himself. I just don't know if I can say that strong enough. This covenant is a covenant God made by himself. And all you can do is believe. And you build on that faith. It is our faith in him that brings us into contact with this thing. Don't lose your faith. Don't quit believing. Don't discourage your faith. Don't get slothful in your faith. Don't stay in the milk stage with your faith. Let's build our faith. Because that's our only connection here. This is based on what God says and our believing it. That's it. Are receiving it, are accepting it. And so he says here, for men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs, that's us, we're heirs of this, to the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, the other one is what he just stated, he said it, number one, and then it's impossible for God to lie, number two, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. Oh, glory to God. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, the holy place where God lives. This hope, this faith, this trust, this belief in this promise that God made and that God can't lie takes us right into the holy place, right into the presence of God. This is the anchor of our soul, the hope we have and the faith we have in what God said. And he goes on and says this, in closing, last verse, 20, where the forerunner has entered for us. Everybody say forerunner. Now he gets back to Jesus, our high priest. But something about Jesus that he did different from everybody else is he entered in for us to come behind him. Under the old covenant, only the high priest could go in. Nobody else could. But Jesus went in as a forerunner. You know what a forerunner is? He goes in there first. But he's not the last one. He's not the only one. He just opens up the way and leads us into it. Y'all getting this? Where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus. Well, he entered there to open up the way for us to come in with him. And we go in there with this hope that we have. We go in there with this faith we have. This is the anchor of our soul. This brings us into the holy place behind the veil where God lives. Now we can go right on in there, hallelujah, by our faith in Jesus. Where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And then in that seventh chapter, he picks up and he starts out talking about what he had to stop and get on their case about. You know, you're not ready to receive this. You need to listen to this. This is about Jesus. This is about some deep things of God. And then he explains what the priesthood of Melchizedek and the priesthood of Jesus, how they parallel in the next chapter. Actually, he starts that in the fifth chapter, and then he stops and gets on their case in the latter part of the fifth and the sixth, gets them back online, back on their faith, back on seeking God, back on their hope, back on their trust in God's Word and what He says, amen, and back on looking at Jesus. And Jesus opened a way for us to continue on and go further. Go further than any man has gone before. And if you want to go further than anyone's ever gone before, then follow Jesus. Amen? Follow this priesthood. He'll take you to newer heights and newer levels. And you'll grow in God. And your life will get better and better and better. Your marriage will get better and better. The church will get better and better. I'll tell you what, I don't want to plateau out here in International Outreach Church. I want to keep getting better and better and better. Growing and growing. Doing more and more. Amen? And as a Christian, I want that same thing. I'm following Jesus. And he's taken me higher. Woo! Hallelujah.